Hello and welcome to the Southbound Sports Show. I'm your host, Richie Leahy. We're going to do a little bit different show today because of the tornado winds that came through, knocked my power and my internet out. So I'm on a handheld recorder right now, not able to get Matt on the call. What we're going to do is do a special show, extra this week, where we're going to talk about NFL. It'll just be posted a day or two later, depending on whenever we can reschedule, as long as everything's able to come back up. But I didn't want to pass up the regular schedule. Hopefully I can get this posted and my internet comes back in the morning under normal time, because it finally happened. The Michigan Wolverines are the national champions. It took a long time. I've been waiting for it ever since I was a student back in like the teens or whatever you would call it. Started 2013, had Brady Hoke as coach, and started at the Notre Dame Under the Lights 2 was my first game in the Big House. Electrifying. I think I talked about this for a long time previously, but I've been hooked ever since. And things kind of went downhill to where it was at the point where in the student section, you could bring guests into games. You can get guest passes, so they didn't even have to be students because we weren't selling tickets. There was like a promotion where if you bought Coke on campus, that, like, I forget, it was like 2 20-ounce bottles or something ridiculous, maybe just one, that you can get a free student ticket into the game. And it was a really low time. And I remember early on hoping that we would get Jim Harbaugh as the head coach. And even though he came in and they had their struggles, there was some readjustment period, I would say, where came in from the NFL, tried to do things quick, and in 2016 got very, very close to breaking through. And you had the overtime game at Ohio State, where all they needed to do was get past that. They get overtime, had some mistakes, and it looked like JT Barrett was short. They give him the first down and Ohio State wins, and it kind of sucked the sails out of everything that Michigan was doing. And they tried to bring in transfers and stuff, and it just didn't seem like it was working. A lot of the media hounded every time Harbaugh would make a progress with the program. They would just move the measuring stick. First, it was that he couldn't beat rivals. So he starts beating Penn State, Michigan State. I know Penn State's not really a rival. And then it was really that he couldn't beat Ohio State or win the Big Ten. He won, I think they had a division tie one of the times back there. So they couldn't bring really that up anymore. So then he beats Ohio State, gets over the hump, gets to the playoffs, gets beat by Georgia, and then it's back to the Big Ten just can't get it done. Harbaugh's never going to get it done. He should go to the NFL. Really close to going to the NFL. And even the COVID year, I kind of glossed over it, but the COVID year, I kind of throw out just because of the restrictions that the state of Michigan had in place. And having a physical program, I think Penn State had the same issue where they start slow. Michigan started hot against Minnesota, but it's just hard to get into that everyday groove whenever players aren't being able to practice, coaches aren't able to be there and consistently win. So they went 2-4, had a lot of opt-outs, a lot of games got canceled that year, including the Ohio State game. People said that it was unjustified, whatever, but I was never one to really push for Harbaugh to leave. It seemed like he lost his fire. I was hoping that he would kind of regroup and bring in assistants and kind of take more of a CEO approach. And it's kind of exactly what he did, especially on the defensive side, because he had Don Brown. Don Brown seemed to be not in over his head, but he seemed to be just too stubborn, where the scheme worked, but they could use that to take advantage and beat a bunch of teams that they had more talent than. You get against Ohio State, he never adjusted. Then you have all of the offensive issues, where I know from watching Harbaugh coach at the 49ers and even Stanford, Michigan's offense is the offense that he wants to run. It doesn't matter if it's J. Jed Fish, who's doing well at Arizona as the offensive coordinator, Pep Hamilton, Sharon Moore now, they're able to kind of mold their offense into what he wants. And it's a power run game. And honestly, I like the kind of offense. I know it's not putting up flashy numbers, but the running game consistently can kill the clock, especially with the new clock rules. It really plays into Michigan's favor. And the defense is able to rest, and then they're able to play a more aggressive defense. The one thing that Don Brown never adjusted to was kind of just bringing in a bend but don't break defense. Because I've always said, like, imagine if Michigan took the approach of like Iowa defense with their offensive firepower. Iowa just doesn't have the offensive firepower. If Michigan could do a bend but don't break style defense, still have the guys that can get pressure up front, which they do, and just have an offense that can control the clock, eat it up, move the chains or whatever. And honestly, that's exactly what has happened. Started in 2021, they made the shift on the coaching change. I know other people are going to point to the other scandals that came up this year, allegations against the program. But a lot of that, they really haven't said anything. And I honestly think we talked about it a few weeks ago on the show that a lot of that stuff's been kind of cleared by the NCAA. And there's nothing that ties Harbaugh to it. They might not even give a letter of allegations. They've already cut ties with the assistant. But even after that, it seemed like this year, everything, the moving stick just kept coming. Oh, he can't win the Big Ten. Oh, he beat Ohio State. All right, well, he can't beat Ohio State again or on the road. Oh, crap, he did that. Now what are we going to say? Oh, he can't win a playoff game. So it's like a bunch of givens. And at the beginning of the year, they're fighting over the suspension. He clearly knows he has a great team. He comes back. Credit to the Minnesota Vikings for not hiring Harbaugh, because they didn't make the playoffs this year. I don't think so. And then they're able to come back and bring everybody back for Michigan, basically. So you took a team that was great already, had an uncharacteristic game against TCU. A lot of the sign stealing stuff is tied in where Ohio State might have given them the signs. Maybe that's why JJ threw two pick sixes. I don't know. But it's in the past. So you can't just go ahead and keep bringing that stuff up, which is kind of what crazy, because that seems to be what the media is talking about. They're like, oh, well, we have the sign stealing thing or the cheeseburger thing. He sits out the first three games. Michigan looks great. And then everyone's saying, well, they played a cupcake schedule. They get into the Big Ten. They continue to blow everybody out. Well, blah, blah, blah. We need another excuse. They bring up the sign stealing stuff. Michigan kills Michigan State after that. They're almost backed out of the game, which would have been crazy if they actually pulled through with that, how the rest of the season would have went, because they played that game and Michigan still won. And then I think they had a Purdue game after that where he was officially cut and Michigan started to do their, we got to get conservative, let's save the plays. Still winning, but it isn't as impressive. Penn State comes up, they're on the road. They suspend Harbaugh for the last three games. That was a calculated move, because I'm convinced that the powers thought that we're going to pull Harbaugh out. Michigan's going to see this adversity. They're going to crumble. They're going to lose to Penn State. They're going to lose to Ohio State. We can bring allegations or whatever against them, and that will be it. We can push Harbaugh out. But Michigan wins. And they do it convincingly against Penn State, where they're not even, they threw one pass and it was an interference or whatever. So on paper, they didn't even attempt a pass, but they really only had to attempt one pass to keep the one drive going. And then they just ran it 30 something times in a row. Penn State couldn't stop them. You win the game in the trenches. So they get through that game, play Maryland. The downside is JJ got hurt in that Penn State game. He scrambled, I think, he was running, and it was almost like the Jordan Travis tackle, where it's kind of a drop tackle, and you could tell that he was really hurt after it. He couldn't really move well. And in the Maryland game, I was kind of surprised that he played and they came out passing as much as they did. Maybe it was because of like Maryland's offense or whatever, but it kind of turned into a little bit of a shootout. And everyone was like, all right, well, JJ's not looking good. Can't pass the ball. This is it. Ohio State will beat Michigan. They'll be eliminated from the playoffs. Everyone knew that the Ohio State-Michigan game was basically a playoff play-in game. And Michigan got it done again. The defense held. Everyone kept saying, oh, Ohio State just going to go ahead and tear this defense up. They're not going to be able to grind the clock away. Michigan's defense has been rotating so many guys, it's unreal. So they beat that. Beat Ohio State again. Third time in a row. Now the pressure is on Ryan Day. Goes to the Big Ten championship game. Credit to Iowa. The media really didn't say anything about Michigan having a chance to lose to them just because they didn't have any offense. Kind of like, hey, here's two great defenses. Once one team does something, and Michigan was going to hold. They're not going to play any crazy cards. I know they had some trick plays and stuff they brought out against Bama. Very similar to what they've done in the past in the Ohio State game. It really seemed like they saved a bunch of that stuff this year for the playoffs. The team had been talking all year about getting to the playoffs and winning. And that's what they did. So, beat Iowa. Everyone's still concerned about JJ, though. Is he going to be healthy? The media didn't really talk about that. They just talked about Harbaugh and can they win against Nick Saban. And that's why I said, I'm glad it worked out like that. Georgia fans can cry all they want. But just like the Ohio State-Michigan game was a playoff play-in game, the Georgia-Alabama SEC championship game was the same. If Georgia thinks they could have beat Michigan, all they had to do was beat Bama. They couldn't do it. Kirby Smart's only beat Nick Saban one time. Harbaugh has the same amount of wins in two games. I think Kirby Smart's taken him on like six times or something like that. So, Georgia fans, you're out. The only team that had a legitimate beef was Florida State. And I'm not really going to talk about it because I want to bring it up with Matt now that everything's over. So we'll get back on that whenever we do the other show this week. But Michigan gets into the Rose Bowl. Alabama plays them close. It looks like Michigan is just a better team. But the offense is still stagnating. They're not really moving the ball. Not able to kind of pull away. Making mistakes, fumbling punt returns or whatever. And they get to overtime. And then they take over. It seemed like if we can get the special teams out of the way in overtime, Michigan could just win the game. Special teams was killing them the entire day. Missing field goals, missing extra points. Horrible field position because of dropped punts and not being able to field them, fumbling. So you get that done. They beat Alabama. Immediately, you see the switch in the media. Because here they are. Without the guy that's in the middle of the allegations, Connor Stallions, he's gone. He's been gone. Michigan keeps winning. So it looks foolish to be like, well, he's there. He's talking to the coach. It's like, no, they're still winning. Every game that the media thinks that Michigan's going to lose, they're just winning. Almost everyone picked Alabama, except for Vegas, of course. And then Washington comes up. Oh, you've never seen an offense like this. Oh, Washington, Penix should have won the Heisman. It's going to be awesome. They're going to get the Pac-12. They're going to win an Natty on the way out. And 32 out of 48 of the ESPN experts picked Washington to win. The computers in Vegas all said Michigan was going to win by 4.5. They thought convincingly. And that's exactly what happened. Donovan Edwards came out. And I've been worried about him because everyone comes back on a team, and he's supposed to be the guy. So I've always been worried, and I know he said he has even been like going into therapy and stuff to talk about it, where Blake Corum comes back, and it's no longer Donovan Edwards' backfield. He's not the lead guy. He stays as like the third down back. But the TCU defense is the kind of defense that he's perfect for because he's not going to grind out the yards like Blake can do. He can go ahead and be the explosive guy, and they really haven't used him that much this year. So to see him go off at the beginning of the game in the national championship game with two long touchdown runs, and he was so fast that you could tell he was healthy. Last year, a lot of people keep bringing up last year and saying, well, last year's, both teams last year would have killed this Michigan team. It's like, no, they wouldn't have. Last year, it's basically the same team from last year, except now Blake Corum isn't injured and Donovan Edwards is healthy. He was playing with like casts on his hands and stuff. Lost a step. He could have took one last year to TCU, one of the early runs. Very similar opening game plan. He just couldn't finish it. This year he could. Got two touchdowns and then let Blake come in, do the grinding thing. I really was worried around the middle of the game when Michigan got too conservative. And there was one run they brought in Orji. He did his quarterback runs. I think if he would have handed off to Edwards, Edwards might have been able to get his other touchdown. But I mean, he's in there. He wants the ball. Why even do the read? But that was the last time he touched the ball, so maybe the coaches saw the same thing I saw and were like, just give it to Donovan. What are you doing? He already has two touchdowns. Could have had a third and really been on his way to the MVP. But then JJ, missing guys. Washington had a great read on one of the plays where it was just a... It looked like Michigan or JJ ran the wrong play. When they went back to the sideline, they were comparing their charts, and Sharon Moore kind of like shook his head like JJ called the wrong play. It would have been open, but Washington had a guy just drop in coverage and break it up. I think it was a fourth down call, and it was kind of crazy that they were able to do that. And some of the other ones where I think it was another short situation, maybe third or fourth and short, and JJ handed off to Blake in the middle of the backfield, and he could have just ran it. And I'm like, JJ, just take over the game. And finally, in the fourth quarter, he flipped the field there deep. It was third and long. He scrambled for a first down. Then he took the next carry for a first down. And then everything kind of settled down. I don't think they really got anywhere else. I think they had maybe a penalty or something, then punted it away. But then the next drive comes out, hits a long pass. Blake's able to wear on him. He grinds in for two touchdowns. He had a long run earlier in the game, too. And they just kind of pulled away. Washington, their offense had 13 drives and only scored 13 points. And that's why going in, I was really confident. I didn't want to jinx it or anything by talking about it beforehand. And some of my other thoughts I'll save for when Matt's here because I want to hear what he thinks. But I knew going in, Michigan had the better team. Don't make mistakes. You can pull it out. I was surprised that Michigan's offense didn't really have to turn it up after they got the lead. I thought for sure Washington would kind of open up their bag of tricks. I know they missed some deep passes. There were some pass interferences that should have been called maybe a little bit more. Because Michigan, there were a couple times where Michigan had some missed coverages. But they're doing complex things on defense. Alabama and even Nick Saban said it, that they're running like NFL-style coverages. Credit to Jesse Minter. Probably I'm going to get a head coaching job. I don't know who wouldn't want to hire him unless he's going to go to the NFL and be a DC, because the job he's done in Michigan in 2 years is awesome. Last year, I think he learned, because TCU broke a lot of long plays. And it kind of goes back to earlier when I was saying about if only Michigan had the Iowa bend but don't break. And this year they had it and it gets a job done. Because Washington's dinking and dunking their way down the field. And Penix was just getting pounded. I felt bad for him at the end of the game. I know he sounded upset. Said some things about like he could easily read Michigan's coverages or whatever he said. But I know it has to be frustrating to just get hit so many times that like he was limping around after the game holding his rib. I was surprised the coach didn't pull him on. I'm surprised the coach played Johnson, their running back, with like a foot that he could barely stand on. And he's running them. It just seems like, yeah, I know your guys want to play. And they might give you the best chance to win. But at some point, like give Penix a standing go. He's injured. Let him come off. And then bring the next guy in. Because at the end, after the interception or whatever, it's like, why do you have him out here taking shots? They're not coming back. They had their chance. He threw the interception on fourth down. Sanders still. Big credit to him. A big key of Michigan's defense. He runs it all the way back. I was hoping he would score. Just because I like Mikey. And I think he's the leader of the defense. And I'm glad that he stuck around. And that's why You had a lot of Michigan guys where everyone's making fun of them last year. Oh, they watched the championship celebration of the other team. Oh, they did that the year before. It didn't work out. Oh, JJ said they're going to win a natty. Oh, Blake Corum said they're going to win the national championship. How did it work out last year? Oh, not that much. Finally, put all the doubters. They're gone. And even the sign gate stuff or whatever, the scandal. There's no way that Michigan really scouted Washington. There's just no way. I know someone had said, like, maybe they had guys at the Michigan State-Washington game at the beginning of the year. But it was one guy doing all the scouting. I really don't think that he would have pegged Washington at the beginning of the year as a potential playoff team. Everybody had picked Oregon. They picked them even as, like, double-digit favorites in the Pac-12 championship game. So for Washington to come in, supposedly probably didn't have any scouting or whatever, like the allegation stated, and it didn't matter. They couldn't move the ball. The defense got gashed. I mean, honestly, the game ended up being more competitive, and it was one of the higher rated national championship games in recent times. So maybe keeping it kind of close is better for Michigan, where people got to see it. But I really thought they could have pulled away earlier if they just kept going with some of the misdirection stuff on offense like they did against Alabama at the end. And I'm like thinking, like, why is JJ not pulling the ball? Because who is he saving it for? This is the national championship game. Go out there and, I mean, credit to them. Maybe they knew, let's just kill some clock. We trust our defense. And that's what they did. And I think the defense, one of the best of all time. No one has scored, over 24 points, 25 points on them all year. First time that's ever been done, going back to like Minnesota or something they said in like the early 1900s. And then they had a lead at halftime of every game since 2001 Miami, which was a stacked team. And even with all the Harbaugh rumors to go to pro, we know he's been wanting to go pro for a while. He wins a national championship. Maybe that makes him want to stay. I've been hearing some mixed things on this where there's two trains of thought. You see, Jim at Michigan, he has his whole family support. That's something that's key to him. And in the NFL, his brother has something, and it seems like they're working collaboratively. Where in the NFL, if he goes to NFL, he can't do that. So maybe he's in a spot right now where they can trade staffers, each try new things. I mean, Mike McDonald, I think Michigan's old defensive coordinator that went to the Ravens after the first playoff appearance, they tell him to get Jesse Minter. He's around the same defensive style. Top defense in college, one of the top defenses, if not the top, in the NFL. Same style. Brothers sharing knowledge in the offseason on how to stop some of these spread and new offenses. And maybe that's just enough for it to work and crazy enough to keep him in Michigan. Because the defense side of the ball played a lot of true sophomores. These guys can't go pro. I don't really see them winning a national championship and then transferring away. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe there will be some roster turnover in the next week or so. But we're going to find out. Very happy that Michigan got the job done. It seemed almost impossible just because of how everything was getting thrown at them. I don't know how they stayed focused. I mean, they didn't have their head coach for 6 games. The biggest regular season games against their rival, Ohio State even, and Penn State, the other team they have to beat, they get it done. They didn't even slip up. If they slip up one time, anywhere, that goes ahead and gives the committee a little sliver of a doubt where they can go ahead and drop them out of the playoffs and say, well, we don't know what the allegations, you're out. Being undefeated and being the number one team, they couldn't do that. And they've won so convincingly that it's funny to me to see fans crying like, Florida State would have beat them. Florida State got killed by Georgia. And if Florida State wanted to really prove their point, then their guys shouldn't opt it out. And like I said, I'll save the Florida State talk for a Mats here, but Georgia, again, It's a playoff game, just like Oregon. Oh, Oregon probably could have beat Michigan. It's like everyone has been saying that the entire time. Oh, just wait till Penn State beats them. Oh, wait till Ohio State beats them. Wait till Alabama beats them. Oh, Washington will finally do it. And it didn't happen. Best team in college football. Well-deserved. I hope Harbaugh sticks around. I wanted him to come to Michigan. Even chanted for him in the Big House before he was hired. I've told that story before. I'm not going to tell the whole thing again. But always supported him. In the COVID year, I was hoping that he would make the changes. He seemed like a different guy. And I mean, it was a different time. World was crazy during that time. He's made the changes. He seems to be much happier. I mean, players are on the sideline getting each other pumped up. During the game, you hadn't seen that in the past. And it seemed like when Hutchinson was there, he helped turn the corner. And a lot of the guys, I'm really glad to see guys like Jabril Peppers that I loved playing in Michigan. Just giving shout outs to the guys after the game, knowing that they're heavily invested. I know the Big Ten Network had a bunch of old Michigan players on that had played for Harbaugh talking about the family atmosphere and how much they loved it. So great. Went to watch it with the alumni club. It was the most packed house I've ever seen. I showed up right on time because I knew they were going to do the kickoff stuff like super late. But it was packed. It was a great time watching with fellow Wolverines. Finally get the job done. And now we'll see what the future holds. Harbaugh has proven that you can win a national championship at Michigan and basically in the Big Ten going forward, which opens a lot of things. It's very similar to Clemson, too. I want to get Matt's thought on that later, but a lot of people are overblowing it, saying like Michigan's recruiting was so low. It's like very in line with what Clemson had. Still had a blue chip ratio that met the goal. If Washington would have won it, then I think we could have been a little bit more open to these new schools. But the transfer portal has definitely opened things up. Michigan had, I think, six or so transfers. Definitely play big minutes and make big time plays. I mean, Stewart tag made the Alabama tackle. I think Wallace had one of them too, both transfers on defense. And I think even they might even have another year. So there could be a lot of key pieces coming back. It just depends on what Harbaugh wants to do. Heck, even JJ could come back. I don't know if he wants to. Right now he has the third best record of all time of any starting quarterback. Doesn't really have the stats to go pro, but when you have Blake, do you need to be throwing the ball around? So we'll see what happens. Just glad that they finally got the championship. And appreciate the support for the show. Again, of course, we get hit with a storm after Michigan's big win. Michigan wins the championship and then the world starts dead, you know. Bad luck, but I'll get Matt back in, recap that, do some of the NFL stuff. I'm not sure exactly the day. We are making some other changes and stuff, getting ready for the NFL playoffs before the off season. I also want to do a deep dive into national championship stuff. So if you have any ideas for that, let me know. But I want to try to get some type of movement nationally. I don't know if we can be able to do it. We're kind of a small outfit. But we've been getting enough support that I've seen Fox and ESPN all have conflicting numbers. And it just seems like just do one source. Pick so that the fans know. It's embarrassing whenever they're like, hey, Michigan's only the third major program to win 10 national championships when Michigan's saying it's their 12th. And they're ignoring USC that also was supposed to have 11. So what's the actual number? If the NCAA recognizes it, I feel like the media should also recognize it. But maybe we can make some movement on there. I'm going to try my best. Again, go blue. Very excited. I hope everyone enjoyed the season. I know there's going to be some haters out there. But this point, I don't care. Won all the games. If they can prove that they needed cheating to win or whatever, then bring that allegation up. Until that happens, not even concerned with any of the allegations. One of the best teams of all time, and those guys deserved it. The confidence that they had to claim that they were going to be national championships and then deliver is just unbelievable. So, thanks for listening, and We'll see you at the next show.